Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
No, that's so much worse. Just turn that one off. You can leave the lights off.
You're like, actually, could you turn the light completely off?
That light made
that light made it look like there was like a morgue next to
you. Yeah, I know. It's the worst light in all of America in my kitchen, and everyone knows it.
And it's in, guys, Target got the most beautiful Halloween candles.
Really?
The outsides of them are like, they have a skull print one. They have like a spider web print.
A spider web
print one. And guys, I've been also, sorry, suddenly I hit record and my mind's going a mile a minute. I've been very much back into wearing hats.
Oh, I know.
I know that it's hard to believe because hats are a big part of my lore, my personal lore.
Yes.
But it's been hard to get back on the hat train. Like, it's hard to like go from not wearing hats to like,
well, because
wearing
I think what it is that, God, you just feel like the most stupid person alive. When you
feel like everyone's looking at you.
When you put a hat on your head, and I think we've said this, and we've probably always said this because it's true, hats are so look at me, look at me. Like, they honestly are, because everyone's like, no, 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 I put on a hat to hide my face. And it's like, no, you don't. No, you don't, because if you wanted
to
hide
your
face,
but to bring attention,
if you wanted
to
hide your face, you'd stay in. If you wanted to hide your face, you wouldn't go out today. You wouldn't have made plans. But
exactly,
here we are. And not only are you out, you're wearing something that's added a few inches.
Yeah. It's like a spotlight.
It's literally like you might as well have a flashing light on your head that's also playing music. Specifically,
all of I can't hear you. You know how Zoom like makes it stop when it gets to a certain decibel? Mm. But I was hearing in my head that Dune music that it sounds like Kurt Hummel sings.
I was doing, but like fully.
But
so anyway, hats.
So I've gotten back into my. I don't remember why I started.
You were talking about just
hats.
How you've been wearing a lot of them, and you were at Target and they have these really great candles.
I don't remember the connection to the hats though.
And we might never know. But we didn't even
but
say
those
hi
are the
yet.
Two main things about me are the new candle and the
well,
hats.
Well, thank you for the update. Clearly not a whole lot has changed. Still wearing hats, am I right? And still won't shut the fuck up about any and every candle purchase. Just kidding. I love your candle updates, and I'm really proud of you for the way you've really learned how to become one with the candle.
Look at how well
you've learned things like how to trim the wicks, how to burn them evenly. You've learned about how wax has memory. memory, maybe. So, okay, it's time for us to say hi. Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today we are recapping season 5, episode 18 of Pretty Little Liars called Oh, What Hard Luck Stories They All Hand Me, which is, in my opinion, way too fucking long for the title of this show.
Yeah, not the best week for me to start in this new notebook that is small.
Oh my God, you had a hand cramp before you even got to the first scene.
Well, it was also like I had to, it was like I normally in my other notebook that was like a regular size notebook, I could write the whole, I could write season 5 episode number and the whole title name. If it had been last week, Ben of Sin would have fit perfectly, but not this
actually,
week.
Actually, true. But that is your fault for deciding to be the kind of person who buys a small
little
notebook. That's a fake notebook to me. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. And no shade to whoever did.
I think I got it out of the donation bins at the end of the school year, my senior year. I mean, that's where
it came
from.
Oh, so you've just had that laying around.
Yeah, I've got a ton of empty notebooks in my closet.
Really?
Yeah, tons.
Interesting. Wow, sounds like you're kind of hoarding all the resources.
Well, they'll all be used.
I can't wait to see what you put on those freaking pages.
Do you
buy,
like you're running out of time.
Aria, I cannot wait. Oh my God, did I call you Aria? Sorry.
Sorry, you mean Hamilton.
Sorry. Oh, right. Sorry. Well, Aaron Burr, really, right? Would be singing that. Why do you write like
yeah,
you're running
out
of time?
He's not the one writing.
Right, and I, yeah, he's singing it. He's asking someone else.
And it'd be
he's asking
you
Hamilton.
You would be Aaron Burr there.
That's what
you're
I'm saying.
You're asking me why I'm writing.
Right.
You called me Aria and I said, don't you mean Hamilton?
Oh, sorry. Okay, I'm confused. What were we saying?
Well, we were just getting into the app.
Oh, well, guys, we are going to talk a wee bit about the Bachelorette finale because how could we not? And I do just want to say, I know I gave Nick Vile some roses the other week. And now I'm going to spit on his grave because he didn't have a special bachelor guest today. And I went to look. I went to look. And that's so not like him. And I just was like, okay, you kind of lost that one.
Do you wonder if it's because, I don't know, maybe Jen didn't want to go on?
Jen already went on.
Oh, right. Well, maybe he didn't want to interview Devin.
Maybe. I mean,
but honestly, though,
can I be crazy?
Can I be crazy? I think Devin and Nick are going to be buds.
Really?
Devin seems right up Nick's alley.
Well, Nick loves
a project.
A project or like a douchey guy that he can be like, yeah, I know everyone thinks he's a bad dude. Hey, he's a friend. He's a friend. We love
exactly.
him.
Exactly. He does it with Sandoval.
Like, yeah.
He does it with West. Not that they're similar.
Yeah.
And he does it with Schwartz. All these guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone that he just like, I mean, Greg in the beginning, mm-hmm. anyone that he decides it's convenient for him to make an apology for, he will do that. But I just thought it was interesting he didn't have any Bachelorette guests to discuss because I typically do look forward to his episodes like being released the second the episode is over,
mm-hmm.
you know, with some inside scoop. So that was interesting. But what did you think? So you haven't really been watching the season. I watched like the first 6 episodes and then I kind of fell off. But of course, I did read spoilers. So I knew who was going to win, but I did not know that she was going to propose to him. What did you think about that, feminist Phoebe?
Caroline's asking me that
watch,
she knows.
And watch what you say, feminist Phoebe.
She knows exactly how I felt about it. I think it's
and hey, feminist Phoebe, answer very carefully.
Guys, I think that this all comes back to me hating Sandra Bullock's character in The Proposal. So
that's crazy.
in my, but from, I haven't seen that movie probably since I watched it for the first time, like when I was a kid. Like that's one of the movies I really
grow up. That's in my regular rotation.
I haven't watched it very much, but I only remember the scene of her proposing to him in the car dealership, or whatever happens in the car dealership.
In the car dealership,
whatever building they're in, it looks like a car dealership. Anyway. Her in her fucking pencil skirt and slicked back pony. I hate the outfit. And then she proposes to this man. And I just, I couldn't stand it from a young age. It just icks me out a little bit. Call me old fashioned.
Guys, I'm editing right now, so forgive the microphone quality. I'm speaking to my computer because I just needed to say, upon doing some digging, I don't actually think I maybe have seen the proposal. I don't know what I was thinking of, though. I really can picture it so clearly in my head. They're in a car dealership. There's, like, black marble granite everywhere and, like, a lot of windows and cars. And Sandra Bullock marches in there in a pencil skirt and a high pony and proposes to Ryan Reynolds. So if you know what movie I'm thinking of, I wish I could reverse image search what I see in my brain. But I can't, let me know. Or if I just made it up, maybe I'm the next big shot director Hollywood's ever seen.
I will. I don't know how much it would have icked me out if I didn't already know what the outcome was. And for those of you who didn't watch, basically, Jen Tran is our first Asian bachelorette, and she's like one of the most beautiful women on planet Earth. So in my opinion,
I didn't realize,
like,
how pretty she was until, not that I didn't think she was pretty on Joey's season.
Well, she wasn't exactly like the standout on Joey's season, which is why it was a surprise she was named Bachelorette.
And
like,
they styled her really well, I felt. This is the first.
Yeah.
Again, I think we talked about how she's the first Gen Z.
Yes.
Bachelorette. And they didn't try to style her like she was still a millennial.
Right. And I thought it was great. Like, I think she's beautiful. And so in my mind, it was like, even if you were a guy who applied specifically to be with Maria, it wouldn't be hard for you to just like adjust because Jen is so beautiful. Like, you know what I mean? They're both fun, outgoing girls. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, really, it wouldn't have been that hard for the guys to pivot. And I feel really bad. I feel like, and I've seen a lot of people saying this as well, it's really a shame that for our first Asian bachelorette, her experience was so fucked up. And I think, honestly, she just was not set up for success to begin with, which is obvious. And I feel like she deserves a fucking apology. Like, it sucks. Even when she was announced, everyone's like, wait, what? Why? We wanted Maria. And it's like, okay. And then she has to go into a house of guys. And, like, in the very end, essentially, she got chosen by nobody. Which is crazy because, again,
in the real world,
she's beautiful. Yeah, like,
yeah, it was terrible. And I didn't like Devin from the start. I was like you. I watched like the first 4 to 6 episodes, I think. And I really thought Devin was one of those guys in the house that like they like enough to kiss and talk to. But I did not see him being her type in any way at all.
I completely agree.
I texted Amber and Caroline today about it because Amber wanted us to watch it because of how crazy it was. And I had no intention of really watching it. I didn't realize it was like crazy. And
when what to your wondering eyes did appear?
When I realized that Devin is in the final two. I was shocked. I told them.
Well,
this.
I was dying when you texted us and you're like, I couldn't believe he was in the final two. It was like, if that's what you can't believe, you're really not going to guess what happens next.
He just like, I don't know. He's one of those guys that really.
He kind of gives me the ick.
Yeah. I don't know. And then he's one of those guys that doesn't. You don't look at him and you're like, he's the hottest guy in the world. That's for sure not going through your head. And then his personality isn't that great either. And then you see him behave at the final rose and he's fucking laughing. He's like scoffing. He can't believe he's in trouble for what he did. I would have been, listen, guys, you guys are so lucky Caroline wasn't the bachelorette. Because let me tell you, What happened on that TV screen truly would have been historical and unprecedented.
I would have really saved it all. I would have saved the murder charge for on screen. No, I mean, I thought, well, I was kind of like, and this is, I'm not trying to be like anti-feminist here, but I was kind of like, Jen, I wish we had prepped what you were going to say a little more, because I just felt, I mean, I understood it's like when you're super heated mm-hmm. in an argument and you're not thinking logically and you're just kind of like saying whatever. And it's like, you get and to you the next so day, much like, to fuck, say. I wish I had said
it's
this.
Kind yeah, of like in, how I felt coming away. And we're going to talk more about this movie on Tuesday, but it's kind of how I felt about Blink Twice. Was I came away from it thinking like the whole movie, I felt like we were on the precipice of this like golden idea. Like, I really mm-hmm. think that the plot could have been so like, it could have been such a good movie, but she didn't stick the landing. And I was thinking about like, it's like when you have like all these ideas ready for an argument. And so you have all these, you know that you can win this argument, and then you get into the argument and you just like throw just everything at the wall. It. So nothing's like fully fleshed out and you just
it's not organized.
You can't execute like, it, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And it kind of is embarrassing coming away from it.
Yeah.
Not that Jen handled herself great, but I just think that like she had a lot of gotcha lines in her head that she wanted to get in there while she could.
Yeah.
And it didn't fully have the
it didn't really
it
land could've. Because it also was just like, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like she had like a lot of gotcha lines that she had like prepped and canned, but they just didn't
flow.
Because unfortunately for this kind of monster that Devin is, and guys, what happened is they get to the final one, because she sent another guy home and she's going to propose to Devin, you know, is planning to propose, whatever. She proposes to him, who's like the love bomby guy, the guy that's been like the nice guy the whole time, the guy that's like absolutely here for Jen. And it's not like he was one of those guys that anyone really thought was in it for the fame, because he doesn't really have the look of like a Sam M, who it's like, oh, he's like, you know, so conventionally attractive. Of course he would be on the show. It seemed like Devin was really here for the right reasons, and like he really was just feeling like the luckiest guy on earth to be with Jen, whatever. That's why it was such a shock when apparently, like, it seems as though a week later after getting engaged, it was like he was a completely different person. They stopped filming. He's like no longer interested. And he basically completely just like cut off. He was like, I'm done. I'm
They're
not really
engaged.
Into this anymore. Yeah. And he just broke off the engagement out of nowhere. And she's like, what? And then he like won't speak to her about it. And every time he like agrees to talk to her to like so they can have a conversation, like he ghosts her again, and then he's like out at the club and whatever. And it was just like, unfortunately for, because he's this kind of an asshole, like anything Jen said that didn't land perfectly, anything she said that was a gotcha line that didn't quite like make the mark,
it just
he's gonna
just
go
like,
laugh about with his bros.
Exactly.
Like,
and
he's
it's
that
never
kind of guy where it's
him.
Like he's gonna laugh in your face, and he literally did.
He's never going to get it. And also, he's just like, it's the most, and not that like, I don't want to like, not to like be a man, but like, it's so unmanly. Like, it's so like, mm-hmm. not what, like when you think about like telling someone to be a man, he would have said, Jen, this isn't working for me anymore.
Right.
But instead he was a fucking coward and just like waited until, actually, maybe he's not such a coward. He is a coward, but like, he did wait until, he didn't do it quietly so he could try to be the good guy in the end. He waited until he was going to look like the biggest douchebag in America on live TV.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Which
I'm like,
not,
and then when he goes,
really, I don't, which is why I'm like, were you in it for clout? Because if you were, you would have done this.
Well, I also noticed like he was in a super tailored suit. Mm-hmm. He looked a little beefed up. Homie had a spray tan. Like, I was like, okay, he's feeling himself. He got his little makeover. Like, if I were him, like, it's the kind of thing, like, when they're like, okay, Jodi Arias, you killed your boyfriend. We need you to show up to court with mousy brown hair and no makeup and glasses, you know?
I need like, you to, Jodi Arias, I need you to not show up like a super slut to court today.
No, don't show up like a super slut with a picture that someone's going to take to their hairstylist, okay? That would be the absolute wrong thing to do. And that's what Devin did. Yeah, I also was like, Jesse, shut. Like, if I was Jen, I would have gotten up and walked off that stage so fast. Like, I would have lost my mind. But what did you think about them showing the proposal? With I know Jen and Devin sitting there watching it together for the first time. I'm sorry. Phoebe said it. I've never seen somebody cry like this on that television
show. Yeah, that was
You know
terrible.
How many people cry on that television show?
That was terrible. I saw the discussion online, and maybe this makes me heartless. I didn't think it was like, I expected them to show it. Like, I don't, maybe it's because I've come to like not expect very much decency mm-hmm. from them.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, yeah, they're going to show it. But I didn't, I think maybe what they should have done was shown it to Jen before. So she's already yes. watched it once. I think that's what
or
they
not
done.
Had her out there. I'm sorry. Like, I think what it was, because I thought they would show it until they get to the point where they're like, we're not going to even show it to
you. Yeah, the way that they said it, I was like, oh. That's
and then they're like, oh, well, we're actually going to show it to you. And Jen's going to be out here and Devin. And they haven't spoken and they haven't seen this yet. And it's like, she is obviously still absolutely gutted
maybe
by this,
in their
devastated.
Head, and I know they should have consulted Jen with this, but just trying to think about where they were coming from, maybe they thought that if Jen was in a place where she wanted to have this like Hannah Brown moment, like moving the pedestal,
yeah.
If she was in a headspace where maybe they thought the proposal wouldn't affect them so much, and Devin had to sit there with her being right. like in her power, and he had to listen to her say all yeah. of that to him again and think about everything he's done to her, maybe they thought mm-hmm. that's how it was gonna play. Obviously that's not what happened, but maybe that's even what Jen wanted. Like, maybe in Jen's head right. she was like, I think I can do this, but it was just harder than she thought.
Well, and I feel like they probably pitched it to her like, all right, and like, I just think, you know, it's up to you, Jen, but what you did out there was so powerful. You're the first bachelorette to ever propose, and we'd hate for this to take your moment away. And I think it'd be really empowering for women to see this. And
I'm
blah, blah,
shocked
blah, so.
Caitlin Bristow didn't propose.
That's actually a great point.
Caitlin entirely.
It does. And so I feel like they probably set it up like that, and she was like, sure, okay, whatever. And they're probably like, oh, how else are we gonna end that? You know, they definitely like. She like agreed to it, but I feel like not truly willingly.
Yeah.
I think they just them showing it with her watching like that and then us
I don't
having
know if
to
we
watch
needed
her
to watch her
sobbing like that. I was like and like hearing it and then he's just sitting there not even like I was like, this is like so cruel.
He's
and then
like
to imagine being in the
sociopathic.
Room with her. I was like absolutely stunned. It's a complete 180 from who we've seen all season. Not that that is impossible, but it's really, truly shocking
to
for
go
just, like,
all the way to the
who
end
we saw.
Like, it would be one thing if he was the final two or if
the
he
Sam
was in the final
or even
four.
The Sam M and he was. Yeah. Like,
but like to have accepted a proposal, been ready to propose.
Yeah. Well, and that's also what I think is
we've
so
never
terrible
seen
and so
like
supremely painful for Jen is like, we fucking like we hash out how much this man disrespected her in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to show her and all of America her proposing to him. Like, that is like, I would be like, yeah, no, show me his proposal to me.
Yeah.
Show me. But like, I'd be like, don't show me simping for this fucking man over here. Like, do not. I don't want him to be a part of the most historic moment. Like, don't show that because I just feel so fucking stupid. Like, look how much I got played. That's what they're showing. If he proposed to me, at least I could save face and be like, he played me. But it's like,
I'm like, why do guys go on national TV and play the games that they can just play in their city? Not that they should be, but it's like now. Your face is attached to your behavior for the world to see. So when you go out clubbing in New York again, Maria,
you know,
and everybody's
right.
going to know what you did and who you are. So why didn't
well, did
you just
see
like,
Maria like posted something?
No. What did she say?
She was like, been on a plane, like haven't had service for 2 days, like really wasn't excited to like come back to this, whatever. Like, I have shit to say. But then she like didn't actually say. So
which
we'll
is
see.
Very Maria. But.
Very area.
I am like, that's another thing where I'm just like, poor Jen. They did Jen such a disservice. They should have done what they've done before, where like we come back to Jen in a year.
Yes.
She's our next bachelorette after that. But it was not fair for her to have to be like the placeholder for Daisy and Maria. For and not just for America, but all these men. You saw Sam M immediately follow both of them. You saw Devin obviously follow Maria. It's like,
Devin what followed a slap Maria, in the guys. Face. Like the day after breaking off the engagement with Jen, and Devin, I think they were like in the same house.
What did you think Maria was gonna do when she saw all of this?
And also, sorry, not trying to be like an absolute biatch, a massive biatch, but what did you think Maria was gonna do if you showed up on our season? Well, you thought, babe, night one, like, I just think that's like the funniest thing, that like these men are so delusional. These men are so delusional. They're like, no, I have a chance. And it's like the only arena in the world that you would have a chance with someone as beautiful and smart and funny and great as Jen Tran is ABC's The Bachelor, where they're going to pay for you to woo this girl and they're going to make it impossible for you to fail if you just say the right things, do what the producers tell you, get on the plane, like find those little moments with her, whatever. As long as you do all those things, you'll be fine. Like, you'll be great.
But imagine if Devin walked up to Jen in a bar.
I mean, she'd be like, ah! She'd jump. She'd be like, because she'd be so scared. Yeah, that's what I just screamed. But I don't think you heard it because I think it went out. But I did scream. She would actually scream and be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, ooh, I thought you were the boogeyman. He is just also a really good example of, like, I think everyone hears former fat kid, former insecure kid, and they're like, oh, he's going to be such a good guy. Let me be the first to tell you guys. They aren't. Because what happens is then they get a taste of what they've been missing out on, and they're suddenly like, I need to make up for lost time, and I can really, really, really like you, but it doesn't matter because I have the potential to sleep with all these girls over here. And I never had that before. So I have to go do that because I'm so hot. I can't deprive them of this. And I'm sure you'll be fine with it because I'm still that really nice guy that everyone loves.
So gross. So those are our thoughts on Devin and Jen. Quickly, just to keep on the Bachelor thing. And then I think we can move into the episode. But we didn't discuss Caitlin and Tayshia.
Holy shit. This is crazy. I have been wondering because, guys, Caitlin Bristowe is dating love of my life, Zach, from Tayshia's season, Tayshia/Claire season of The Bachelor.
Wonder about their brands meshing.
That's a good point.
And it worries. I think Zach is like, I mean, he's clearly so strong in who he is. Yeah. And I'm not worried about that at all. But I just mean, like, Caitlin promotes a very different kind of lifestyle than Zach does.
And I would hate for it to negatively affect what Zach is doing.
I agree.
Or detract. Because the other thing is, Caitlin continues to put her foot in her mouth and, like, say things that are just not appropriate. And I'm sorry.
That's not who Zach is.
Caitlin, like, it just also, I hope Zach isn't going to end up collateral damage because you can't handle Jason being with somebody else. And, like, you needed to get back at him some way. And this is how. Because I think he's
dragging
Tayshia
down with him.
And so then, like, her saying to Tayshia, whatever, or what, I don't even remember what it was now.
So
but
basically
Tayshia,
what happened,
she couldn't believe Tayshia was mad.
Is, so Caitlin and Zach start dating once Tayshia and Caitlin are done being co-hosts of The Bachelorette. And we saw Tayshia and Zach's breakup be, like, aired on the show.
Wait,
while they
while
they were hosting, the news came out. And it was during, like, rose or a Mintel All or something. And they were doing
something live.
And Tayshia and Caitlin was there, like, hugging her. Tayshia was crying, like, so emotional. Caitlin goes on this podcast and they ask her about it. They're like, were you and Tayshia friends? And, like, how has this affected your friendship? And Caitlin's basically, like, yeah, we were never, like, friends. We were just, like, coworkers, this. And then she's like, but I did, like, want to let her know what was going on with me and Zach. So I called her and told her what happened, and Tayshia got so mad and, like, screamed at her and was like,
I always knew you were a
bad
person. Yeah.
And Caitlin, like, texted her and then thought Tayshia was going to respond and be like, you know what, I overreacted, I'm sorry, like, it just hurt me in the moment, and whatever. Tayshia didn't apologize, and she didn't, like, take back what she said. And so Caitlin, I believe, either said to her or texted her or joked about it on the podcast. It was unclear to me
about on the pod
that she was going to send a video of her sucking Zach's dick to Tayshia.
She said it as a joke on the podcast. She's like, now I kind of want to send you a video of me sucking his dick. Why would you say that?
Evil.
And what does Zach think about it?
They were engaged.
I know. And it also is just, it's such a, like, mean thing to say. And, like,
to downplay the relationship that Tayshia and Zach had is giving high school. It's giving, like, well, it's like, and yes. Caitlin, sorry, you and Zach, and Zach's not behaving this way, but I'm like, you guys are a couple now that's of an age that should not be longer how you act.
No. And I feel like Zach doesn't act like that. So I'm just, that is where I'm a little bit like missing.
I love when his podcast clips come up on my page and he's just like so intentional with the way that he talks. And
I love him.
He's so like kind and like, not to like Carl Radicify it, but he's like soft. Like he's got a softness to him.
But he's still like got the gruff, like New Yorker kind of like thing where I'd feel safe with him walking down the street, you know? But I also wouldn't feel scared if it was just me and him and I saw him coming.
Yeah.
He's like that kind of guy. All right. So let's get into the episode and I'll do the recap at the end unless you want me to do it right now.
I don't care.
Hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us or both of us, but usually one of us might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it, thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So, Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today. Hello, everyone. Let me do a little recap. Here's what's going to be super duper important this time around. So we're going to start with our girl, Hannah, because she is our favorite. We do play favorites here at the Pretty Little Podcast. There is a storage unit, which we know, which has lots of Mona Vanderwaal murder evidence and a barrel that they suspect has Mona's body in it. And we also find out, womp womp, the storage unit is rented under Hannah's name, which is going to be truly bad news bears. We all know it. So Hannah and Caleb, mostly Hannah, but Caleb tags along, they devise a plan to go to the storage unit. They're going to clear everything out, including the barrel. They have all the tools. Like, there's got to be a major paper trail here, people, but that's okay. Except for someone hacked Hannah's computer and was filming her discussing this plan with Caleb. And the girls are really worried that it was Holbrook who hacked in and shared this and that he has this video now and he's the one who tipped off Tanner and Toby. Because, yeah, you guessed it, when Hannah and Caleb got to the storage unit and went to go get the dolly to move the barrel of toxic Mona sludge out of there, they run into Lieutenant Butterscotch and Toby. And it's like, whose side are you on, Toby? But they actually find a couple little drops of blood, Butterscotch and Toby. And they're worried that the girls are all going to be brought in for questioning if that blood matches Mona. Aria. Ugh, Aria. God, she did something unforgivable again, you guys. She wrote a fucked up email to Jackie Molina. You remember the one. She works in the admissions office at Talmadge, and Aria famously is like getting into no schools and can't take accountability for that. So she wrote a butter you up kind of email, but took an interesting route, took some creative licenses, which she's proud to say. She talked about being groomed and like missing out on her entire high school experience and being abused by her English teacher. Yeah, you guessed it, Z-Fitz. And this email ends up getting her into the school. So now she literally has to tell Ezra what happened because she feels so guilty. And it might be the only school she gets into. So she tells him, and he takes it pretty well at first, but it does get him thinking, which like, okay, this is literally the first time we ever had this thought. He suggests they take some time apart because she might start to resent him if she misses out on all of high school and all of college. Emily is working at the Brew, and she has major career aspirations. She's like, when can we do my yearly review? I want to talk about my five-year plan with you, Z. The new owner of the Brew. She is working there, though, with a new chef named Talia, who is a full-on adult, in case anyone was curious. And Talia is also interested in Emily and lets her know, but Emily's kind of in cold shoulder mode right now. Spencer needs crate time, shocker, but, like, in a major way. She only applied to colleges that were far enough away that Allie can't keep ruining her fucking life, but she's not going to open any of the acceptance letters because she's kind of like, maybe I just want to be a vagabond and skip the whole college thing. So this might have been inspired by this new guest in the bar named Johnny. I don't really get it with him, but whatever. Toby is a cop now, which Spencer is going to claim is her own idea, but it definitely wasn't. And it's creating a major rift between him and Spencer because he can't tell her anything about the case. And she's like, then why the fuck do I even have you working here? And he's like, also, can you stop telling me everything? Because it's making it harder for me to do my job. And a while ago, it's important to remember that Mona and Spencer, when Mona was still alive, RIP, they snuck into Radley and went through all of Bethany Young's therapy recordings and I think took a bunch. I don't really remember. But in general, another really big plot point you need to know is that Spencer, Aria, and Emily think Hannah took Mona's laptop because they do believe it, along with all the other evidence, was in that storage unit. And they see Mona's laptop has been activated and is on the move. So they follow that signal and it leads them to this old ice cream factory. And then they get locked in because they hear Hannah and Caleb talking and they follow the sound and they find out that A actually set up a little bit of a trap for them here. And we realize that, yes, Hannah's computer was hacked, filmed her and Caleb talking about their plan. That's very, very incriminating. And they believe that A slash Hottie Holbrook left the video playing here in the ice cream factory to lure the girls in here. And then they get trapped in a freezer and it's this whole thing, whatever. But the point is now the girls are worried A has this footage and is going to use it for more blackmail or send it to the cops. And if it's in possession of Hottie Holbrook, truly ladies, anything is possible. That's what you missed. Enjoy this fun filled recap.
This episode was boring.
I agree. But I was really grateful to see Vivi and Hottie Holbrook back on my screens.
Well, yes. Hottie Holbrook was back.
Hottie Holbrook was back with a vengeance, honey. And he also was looking fine.
He's got a haircut.
He did get a haircut.
Outside the Brew with Emily, Aria, and Spencer, and we're seeing that we just keep getting pieces of Ezra's terrible design choices, because now we see that on the outside of the Brew, in the same terrible stencil letters, it says rare books.
What are we doing putting the rare books outside where thieves can easily snatch them up?
Exactly.
You know, like let's put the not so rare ones outside to lure people in, the right. Crowd pleasers, if you will. Right, and you put right, your right. First editions, Z, in the back. Thanks. Under lock and key, under glass. If you were a real bibliophile, you'd know that.
Joe Goldberg.
So Spencer's like spiraling. She and Toby obviously aren't great right now, as we saw last episode. And she's like, I suggested he join the police station and now it's literally tearing him apart.
Which,
and
by the way, Spencer, no, you didn't.
And also, it's not really tearing him apart. It's kind of tearing you apart.
That's clear.
So let's just get that straight. And then we see, what is that across the street? What a vision. Vivi Hastings is back in Rosewood.
She's in front of the Rosewood Police Department with two of who we learn are Allie's defense lawyers. And Spencer tells us that she is consulting them, which I just think, okay, Allie's lawyers are fucking dumb, because why are we enlisting the mom of one of Allie's ex-friends to consult?
I know. And also, like, a former murder suspect in her murder and Allie's fake murder, like, all the... And her husband, her boyfriend's a cop. Like, there are so many reasons why I just, like, would want to stay far away from Vivi, but that's fine. Spencer tells the girls that she just wants to know what Allie's lawyers know, things like who gets called to testify. And she says, my mom always says you get more with a smile than with a subpoena.
Love it.
So we see Vivi take a file from one of Allie's lawyers, put it in her bag. And as we see this, we see Hannah walking across the street. And Spencer and Hannah are on the out, so she's going to go talk to her about what I hate, Phoebe.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
The turning around to your two friends and a group of four friends, there are three of us over here. I'm turning around to two of them. Again, Hannah's the odd man out and saying, wish me luck. And about going to talk to my friend when I'm in the fucking wrong.
And the girls go, luck.
Luck.
Ew. Hate.
How do you girls should be like, why would you need it? Hannah's an angel. I think you mean to say I'm going to go say hi to my friend Hannah.
Exactly.
Do you guys have any message you want me to get to her?
Aria is so fucking funny here. Spencer leaves and Aria is like working up the courage to ask Emily if Ezra's in the brew. And Emily's like, no, you dumb bitch. He's in Harrisburg. And then Emily's like, oh.
Aria's like, I know.
Aria's like, Emily's like, oh, you forgot. Or he forgot to tell you. And Emily's like, I forgot. Aria's like, I forgot.
And Emily like confirmed. She's like, really? She's like, I forgot.
I just forgot.
Thanks. I just forgot. That's it.
We go over to Spencer and Hannah, and Spencer's like riling herself up to get ready to apologize, thinking this is gonna be hard. And before she can even get like three words out, Hannah's like, you're right.
Classic Hannah. Hannah's like, you know, I thought about this all night. I thought about it so long in the bathtub that my hands turned to prunes. And it was a bad idea to take that stuff out of the storage unit. And so I think we're all good now. And Spencer's like, oh, okay,
take a page out of Hannah's book. This girl is the best.
She really, really, to really be is able, the best. Hannah Hive, rise up.
I would have been mad at Spencer for days. I would have been... And I just need to be more like Hannah. Let's get bracelets. WWHD.
No, for real. Because WWHMD. I feel like it just works better with Hannah Marin.
Okay.
Like her full name. Like, let's give her, let's put some respect on her name, you know? But anyway, then Hannah, we get the Fab Four outside of the brew. Spencer brings her over to the girls. And Emily spies with her little eye.
They go up to the girls. Aria goes, so are we good here?
Thanks for the concern.
And they're like, yeah. Or Hannah's like, yeah.
I wish Hannah was like, what do you mean? Spencer was like, nothing. They don't know anything. I didn't say wish me luck before I went to talk to you, my friend, my longtime friend. Emily spies with her little eye, Hottie Holbrook, looking fine as fuck. And I don't know if you noticed, like, we don't get any intel as to what they're saying, what words they are exchanging, Holbrook and Vivi, but they don't seem pleasant. The body language is telling, and Vivi's like kind of in disbelief of how Holbrook is acting towards her. He is pissed. He's capital P pissed. And the girls are like, why the fuck would we want Holbrook out here in the open when everyone's like, look at him, look at him. Like, what did he do?
They're trying to figure out like why Allie would rather him be back in the open than like, he was doing fine in the shadows.
Doing her dirty work.
Now we're in the inside of the brew, and Ingrid Michaelson is playing. Ever heard of her?
Okay, Phoebe, I have to say something you're going to hate. You're actually going to go freaking nuts when you hear this in a bad way, but I'm going to tell you because it's... And maybe I'm just conditioned to always be like my brat-o-meter is like always freaking going and running like crazy. And it might have been overheated and so extra sensitive. But I thought I Love It, I Don't Care, I Love It was playing in the brew before Boys, Oh, the Broken Hearts and the, what is it called?
Girls Chase Boys.
Girls Chase Boys. I really did believe that I Love It was playing.
I don't know what you're talking about. Wait, you thought that the Ingrid Michaelson song was I Love It.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Interesting.
Or two songs played.
Fascinating. Maybe it did.
I really thought I heard, I don't care. And I was like, this is bonkers. But I couldn't like fully hear it. Because also I think the sound on the basement TV kind of stinks.
Oh, yes. Confirmed, yes.
So I couldn't really hear it. And
it's
then
from all those, it's from all those days of it having to play at one
No, not the, sorry, the studio TV. I should have been more clear.
Oh.
But anyway, whatever. I don't know, but it would have been like really cool if that is what was playing. I think Phoebe's right and it wasn't. But while whatever that song is playing,
Girls Chase Boys was definitely playing. I fucking loved
you're
that
right.
song. Oh, I loved that song.
That Ingrid Michaelson.
That came out around Supremacy. The same time the Rihanna Shakira song, I Can't Remember to Forget You, came out.
Ooh, was that around the same time of King of Anything?
I think it was around the same time we were playing it. Guys, I'll give you one guess. What's my karaoke song?
No way, it's King of Anything.
Well, it's not King of Anything, but it is Miss Sarah.
Love song?
Yes.
It's the song I sang famously at a family member's wedding and got paid to sing.
I love that song.
And it's like the worst song you could sing at a wedding.
What a fucking epic song.
Phoebe only, by the way, guys, Phoebe only knows this song, this underground song, because she saw my friend sing it in fifth grade at the Lincoln Elementary Talent Show.
It was like
and
the
she
first
was like,
time.
Oh, that's music.
It was
oh, this
like
is a musician.
First, it was like the first time I ever heard someone sing. I was like.
Which, hey, by the way, guys, lived with me. And I am like objectively a good singer. But okay. That's
no, you
totally
are.
Fine.
It just, that was like a pivotal moment for me. But that song, guys, the lore behind that song is that she sent her record in to the label and they were like, but we need a love song.
Where are
song.
The love songs, babe?
They were like, we need a love song.
She goes, I'm not going to write
she said,
you
I'm
one.
Not going to write you a love song because you
asked for it.
Listen to that song again, knowing that it's a song to her label, not to a person.
Oh, because you need one?
Because
I'm not
going to
write you
it?
A love song because they tell me it's make or break in it. Anyway, so Talia has caught Emily's eye. Emily is kind of like checked out of whatever convo's happening here with her goyles, well, Hannah, because she is just like eyeing Talia. And then Caleb calls Hannah and pulls her away. Johnny, you remember Johnny from the barn? He's working at the brew and Spencer approaches him. I don't know like whatever's going on here, but I think I hate it.
Probably.
I think I hate it. Ezra apparently liked what he did at the opening, which was what? Putting the word books on the window?
I don't think
I actually think I missed his big thing at the opening. I must have missed it. But
me too.
Johnny got a
did.
$200 commission to make him something for the brew that no other coffee shop will have. And Spencer, I really wanted to be like, he lowballed you. Oh, $200.
Okay, I was like, that barely covers what you bought to create
the materials
this thing.
And the labor.
You're
and
not
like the
breaking
time.
In.
Yeah, like
you're not. I mean, you're not breaking even.
You're not breaking even. We are breaking this in, and boy, are we gonna break this in, this little contraption, Johnny? But you are not breaking even.
Another song I love, "Break You," because you know when a heart breaks, no, it don't break even.
No, it don't break even.
I love that song.
The best part of me was always you.
And so he wants Spencer to help him build it. And Spencer does not want to do that.
She
goes, I'm so busy.
What is it? She goes, what is it? And he says, well, help me build it and you'll find out. And she goes, I don't want to know that. I just want to know what it does. And he goes, hey, you need to analyze that a little bit. That is a very telling statement you just made.
Hannah comes up and needs to talk to Spencer, but we don't know what that's about yet. Then we go to the kitchen and Emily says hi to Talia and Talia is
Phoebe,
like,
Phoebe, what did I have to watch here? Wait, is this the part?
Nope. No, it's not the apron. It's not like not the pseudo ghost moment.
Dude, I was like, Arya's going to be pissed when she learns about this pseudo ghost moment that she didn't get to have in the pottery studio. Yeah. For real it is. Emily approaches Talia awkwardly. She's like, are you feeling better? Because Talia called in yesterday and we
Talia's
find out
like, what?
She wasn't sick. Talia's like, oh my God, do I look sick to you? No, I didn't want to fucking see you. That's not what she says, but
that's
might
what
as
she
well.
Meant.
And then it's just like weird vibes, and Emily
and then
just
when
walks
Emily,
out. And I'm Emily like, that was a waste of my time, your time.
Emily leaves and Talia turns around, and you can tell she regrets it. So then,
hey girl, what's going on? Where did you go just now?
Then we go with Team Sham. I'm realizing that I just write their initials down, but Aria is obviously A, so I write AM. And so I wrote Brew : Sham. How
you
epic
can also
is that?
Write Sparia.
Well, Hannah was with them. Also, oh. Sparia is more letters, bitch.
Mom? Did you hear that? Phoebe just called me a plain old bitch. Phoebe just told me I was an ugly old bitch.
And guys,
oh my God.
I know you didn't hear me say those adjectives, but they were implied with my tone.
You didn't see them, but she mouthed them, and believe me, there was no mistaking what she said.
So anyway,
she
they're
sure
talking.
I understood.
The cops called Caleb, and they're gonna question him and try to figure out if he remembers seeing anybody suspicious. And Hannah's like, well, he didn't. And Aria goes, other than you two.
Hey, Aria, whose team are you on? Whose team are you on? And Hannah's like, well, he's going to call me next. And Aria's like, yeah, very good, Hannah. Just kidding. But I hate how the scene is shot, because it's like the camera is in a room and we're looking at the girls through the glass.
Through, like,
but the sound is also as though we are hearing it through a window. And I'm sorry, but I don't want to work this hard to figure out what they're saying. I just don't. I just don't.
So then we go to the register, and
Mrs. Incredible is looking ass coming up looking for Hannah Marin.
She's like a
she
combo
looks like a mix between
Sydney Sweeney
and Mrs. Incredible.
I thought you were gonna fucking roast me for saying she reminds me of Sydney Sweeney, but she
no,
always
dude,
has. It's the way they talk.
Okay, this is okay. Did we just become best friends? Because I also thought you were gonna roast me, and I didn't even write it on my page until way farther down. I was
it's
like, okay,
giving,
finally mustered up the courage to write. Does this girl look like Sydney Sweeney?
It's giving
because
Sydney Sweeney.
Here's what we don't
want to
admit
too.
Is that Sydney Sweeney, low key, kind of ordinary.
In her
like not yeah. Not actually ordinary at all in any fucking way.
But in her
me.
Face.
Believe me. Hey guys, I know. She's I don't yeah.
Did you see the tweet that went viral after Sydney Sweeney's last photo dump that was like, I
yeah.
love when I see guys from my high school liking Sydney Sweeney's
like
posts
it.
And I'm like, shoot your shot. Shoot your
good
shot.
Good for
King.
You, buddy. Good for you, dude. Yeah. No, really. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. It's so funny. It's like, what do you think? Okay. Anyway, Mona's mother sent this girl to find Hannah. Apparently, her name's Leslie. Apparently, she's Miley's best friend.
Miley?
My best friend Leslie
oh, right.
said she's just being Mona.
I did
that
just,
works.
I am just like, okay, imagine you're visiting a friend of yours hometown and you talk to their mom. And
a dead friend.
They send you up to Uptown Coffee. And they're like, I'm sure if you go up there and just ask for Phoebe, you'll find her up there.
Oh, a last name? Don't know if you'll need it, but if you do, Connell.
she's probably up there. Like, imagine walking up to the nondescript Uptown Coffee employee and saying, do you know Phoebe Connell?
Hey, where's Phoebe Connell?
they're like,
go next door. They go to Empire. Joe's like, I'll call her.
Joe's like, who?
Honestly, the good news for us is like, if you go to any establishment like within 15
there will
miles
be
of Melbourne and ask where one of us is,
you.
Someone will like have a connect and be able to find us pretty quick.
It's like Hollywood.
I think.
Mount Lebanon is just like Hollywood if you think about
that,
it.
That and we've always said that.
It's always been true.
Always said that. But also, Phoebe, I think you're missing a really crucial point here. Like, if you were visiting a famously murdered friend, allegedly murdered friend's mother and hometown, my mother would be diabolical to say, hey, why don't you just walk up to the local coffee shop and start telling everyone you're friends with my daughter and that you're looking for one of the other, like, most controversial figures in Rosewood. Like, if you really want to turn heads...
You're
I
right.
have just the task for
is
you,
it,
Leslie.
Is it starting to sink in with you a little bit more?
That Mona's... No. I know she isn't.
What?
You heard me. I'm not giving you any more.
Okay. So,
why are you still on this?
On what?
Give up. Give up trying to convince me. That she's dead. Give up.
I mean, I don't know how. Okay.
How did I see everything I saw? And also, I think someone told me.
Maybe they're trying to get your goat. They're trying to get your goat.
I can't wait to find out just how untrustworthy you are.
Well, maybe they got it mixed up.
Stop it. You're trying to like harsh my mellow and it's not working. Anyway, nice try. Mona's still alive. But the fact is, I think it's crazy to send her up there and be like,
yeah,
why are you here? And it turns out she was actually with Mona's mother when they got the call that Mona had been murdered. So
yikes.
Big yikes. Yowch. They met a couple summers ago and Hannah's like, well, I didn't. Or does Emily say? She's like, I didn't see you at the memorial service.
Yeah, one of them does.
I had class. Okay, your best friend was murdered.
Well, she did say specifically she also had a professor who wouldn't make any excuses.
And that's kind of like too many details.
I agree. Like too many details. She's here for the weekend to support Mrs. Vanderwall through the trial. Then we have a phone call between Hannah and Spencer. Hannah's at the police department. Spencer's at home. And they just aren't really sure if Leslie is who she says she is. And they talk about that for a little bit. Hannah hangs up. Spencer is getting ready to snoop.
Nothing is funnier than Spencer's absolute kryptonite, which is a briefcase on the buffet.
And an and empty I'm like, home. Okay, she's this girl doesn't want to go to college.
Who literally please.
Is addicted to a leather briefcase.
A leather briefcase. Yes, she is. She finds out quickly that Vivi's not home, goes through it, and she goes through her files and finds Mona's autopsy report as well as the inmate sign-in sheet for the jail. And then someone gets home, so she like quickly cleans up, but she does take the file.
She left the file. She took a picture of the prison visitation sheet because we see that Mike. Yes.
I don't know if we already saw Mike.
Arya's sister. Arya's brother, Mike, has visited Allie in prison.
Yeah. Vivi tells Spencer that Spencer does not need to be worrying about Holbrook because they have something else to discuss, and she pulls out all the unopened acceptance letters that Spencer has. Spencer, how did you get those?
Where did you leave
them, Spence? On the fucking buffet?
I do just want to say the greeting here at the when Vivi walks in is so funny because Spencer like situates herself to look normal. She goes, "Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
How are you?"
Spencer?
And Vivi goes, "Spencer." Oh my god,
it's so funny because Vivi walks in and she's like, as if I can't feel the air moving in the direction that tells me you just moved as fast as you could to jump over the side of the couch and lay down.
Spencer's like out of breath. She's like still wiping her hair out of her face.
Vivi comes over and she's like, is that a drop of humidity I feel in the air that could only be sweat from your neck? Caught again. But she's like, I wasn't born yesterday. My things are out. Obviously you went through them.
I know, I'm
Vivi, hello, this is an amateur hour.
Vivi, what are you thinking?
Vivi, low key, not to victim blame, but like, why'd you leave it there? You're asking Spencer for it, kind of. Hastings, you know who your daughter is. You literally know who your daughter is. Spencer's like, I don't know if I'm interested in college anymore, Mom. And Mom's so mad. And like, Spencer tries to walk away to get out of the convo. And Vivi grabs her arm. And the way Spencer looks back, like Vivi was actually going to break her arm in half, which I just want to say.
She wasn't.
This wasn't that aggressive. No. Like,
we've seen Toby be more aggressive.
Yes. Yeah. And Spencer made the exact same face. And I'm like, okay, so this was rehearsed. But she just basically delivers the message that,
Spencer's
hey,
in the
hey,
mirror
Spence?
Of her bedroom, grabbing her own wrist and being like,
and she's like, that was good. That was good. That was good. That was good. She got it. I think we got it.
Arya's coaching her in the back.
She's in like virtual acting classes. No one knows.
What a funny detail that would be in Spencer's story.
I would have loved it.
Taking acting classes.
Like community, like she's at Hollis, but they're all virtual.
And no one knows.
So Haleb is at Rosewood PD. Ashley's going to come get them soon. And Hannah just like so sweet. She's like, oh, my mom has a lot going on. Like she doesn't need this. And it's just, it's like, Hannah, you don't need this either, girl.
With that, but I am like, we're really going to start having this conversation right here, right now. Right here, right now in the police department.
It is fascinating.
You're fully saying,
like, so
you're fully,
should I marry him or what?
You're fully, no, not this conversation. When Hannah then goes, I'm just really worried A is going to send in that video of us to the cops. Hey, oh, yeah, the cops are here. You're saying this in front of the cops.
Right. You are in their lair. Caleb's like, no, there's nothing connecting us to that busted lock, the storage unit in your name. Like, why? They're just truly.
Why didn't we ever call the police department the police lair? That's so much better. I mean, not just you and me. I mean, the world.
Okay, well, I'm happy to spearhead this campaign.
Their lair is incredible.
Their lair, because that kind of is what it is. It's like the vibe.
Absolutely. It's like the A layer, but like government sanctioned.
Yes, absolutely. So Holbrook is freaking the frick out in the Rosewood PD.
That'd be a tantrum.
And he's yelling and like grabbing a box of files, throwing it across the room, and then angrily picking everything back up. And he walks out and he sees Caleb and he goes, perfect.
Just perfect.
Which is how I want everyone to react when they see me from now on. Thank you.
I'm going to show up to the wedding in October and Kelly's going to see me and she's going to be like, perfect. Just perfect.
Or you see Kelly and say that. That would have repercussions.
Oh my God, planned. Oh my God, done. Oh my God, strapping a body cam to my dress.
I'm going to do that to
multiple people at the wedding.
Multiple people.
That I just like kind of know, like adjacent.
I love that.
Perfect.
I love it. Anyone of like...
At the buffet, I look across at the other person on the other end.
No, you go to sit down at your table and you're like...
Perfect.
Perfect. Just perfect. It's like mom and dad sitting with you at the table. They're like, what the fuck? So Sparia's catching up and Spencer shares the photo of the visitor's log with Mike's name on it. And Arya's like, impossible. He was probably just going in there to spit in her eye. Okay, Arya, like, come on.
And then she says, why didn't he say anything? Because he's going to visit Allie in jail?
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, it went really well when you found out that Hannah did and you essentially told the entire town. You're like the town crier. So why would he tell you?
Oh my God, it's Arya, so is the energy of Farmer Refuted from Hamilton.
Oh my God. Yes.
So then we go back to the brew. God, we are at the brew all... Guys, it's Saturday, in case you haven't noticed. Hannah and Emily are there. And we learn that Holbrook was suspended for inappropriate conduct. And this was such a cute moment. Because they're talking about like why he's being canceled now. And Hannah goes, I don't know what the straw that broke the chameleon's back was. And Emily doesn't correct her.
Emily
goes on.
I missed that line. And I know I would have heard it if someone corrected her. So I just love that so much. And thank you, Emily.
How cute is that? I love that.
Yeah, but they are pretty sure that he tampered with the lie detector test. And Emily gets checked out again because she sees Talia helping Johnny. We're back at the Montgomery Mausoleum. Mike is watching a black and white movie. And for a moment there, I'm like,
"That's what I
like. Watch us find out it's just Transformers, but like every TV in the Montgomery house is only in black and white. It's like an aesthetic choice that they made. We're like, he's watching a Michael Bay film. It's Megan Fox washing a car, but it's in black and white. And Arya's like, it just does seem classier.
I literally wrote, Mike is not watching this. And then we come to find out he's watching it for actually the cutest reason ever.
God.
Because Arya has the same thought I do. And she goes up to him and she goes, what's this? Because she knows there's no way he's watching this on his own. And he says,
she's like, no, sorry. I don't mean what's this. Obviously, I know what it is. I know what film this is. Why are you watching it?
And Mike says that Mona had this list of movies that she wanted to show him. And he's finally like worked up the courage and like the like energy to be able to look at it and to be able to watch some of them. And it's just
so
like,
cute.
So heartbreaking.
And heartbreaking. Completely. So Hannah is with Leslie, getting to know her, trying to figure out like how well she actually knew Mona. And Hannah's like, just trying to figure out like, you know, there's like There's like Mona and there's like Mona, right? Like, you know, there's like two like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Like, she's trying to say in like so many terms, like, yeah, she's but like, Mona stock, like, you got that, right? Because you know about all
Hannah's
that.
Hannah's like, why were you looking for us? And Leslie's like, yeah. Well, you were friends of Mona's. And Hannah's like, yeah, but it was like, it was a little more complicated than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but define friend. We were, you mean friend of me?
We were very much friend of me's. Leslie says you were all very precious to Mona. Which is...
Okay, girl.
Okay, Leslie, if you
which
knew...
Which is a weird thing to say.
If you knew what this bitch was doing to these girls for how long she was doing yeah. it to them, you're an accessory to a crime. Multiple.
Yeah, and like when you say precious, do you mean like my precious? Like Gollum from Lord of the Rings? Because that's sort of what I'm getting. Or is it Smeagol? Smeagol.
Girl. You're asking sorry. The wrong girl. Sorry, on that sorry, list, sorry. On that list you had to start making, add Lord of the Rings.
Perfect.
And the
Hobbit. So we get a flashback. Okay. So we get a flashback and Mona is reading a scary story out of an Edgar Allan Poe anthology to which, Hannah with like a flashlight.
By the way, guys, I was gifted one of those.
Oh, wow. No, Phoebe, this does not mean that you're more of a Mona than an Aria. Don't get excited. Okay?
I'm not smart enough.
Oh, that's not why. Anyway, Mona's like, I love
true.
This stuff. It's like maple
true.
Syrup. It's all sticky and sweet. And Hannah's like, what the fuck? So then Mona asks Hannah, if you could have three wishes, what would you want? And she says that she would wish for a stopwatch, that when you press it down, not only does the watch stop, but all of time would stop too, and you would have all the control, but no one would ever know that it was you. And she is truly just describing the
she
plot
says,
of Clockstopper as the movie.
She says they wouldn't even know they were being controlled. And that's when I'm like, oh, she's also describing what it would be like to be A. But Hannah's answer is, I hate these wishes games because wishes just remind you of what you don't have.
Oh, I know.
Then we go back.
I know.
Well, we go... Caroline, you can go ahead and do this scene. We're in the kitchen.
Oh, my God.
When I walk in the kitchen, my heart hits the floor. Mm. I don't know the rest of the words.
Okay, so, sorry. I got stuck in the music for a second. So Emily's just, like, getting ready, and Talia's like, well, I'll help. But she doesn't say that. She just silently comes up
Wait,
behind Emily.
Caroline, you are botching this.
Okay, then you do it.
Emily is like up on the, she's like reaching up to get something from whatever, like flour.
Mm-hmm.
And her apron comes undone. And now Caroline could take it away. I just think it's important. She's not in there like getting dressed.
Well, I thought maybe she was like putting her apron on for like work. I didn't like think it was like she was naked and Talia was in there just skulking about in the corner.
Just making
waiting
sure
for her moment.
We're really painting the picture. Her apron began to fall off.
Okay, so it begins to fall off, and we see Talia's hands like snake around Emily's waist and tie it for her in the front, but like Talia's behind her, it's like her face is, it's like, again,
and
if you've seen the movie Ghost.
And she doesn't like pull her hands away, she like lets her hands rest on Emily's hip for a second, and then Emily says
yeah.
thanks, and Talia says, don't mention it.
Ew! Talia, don't touch me.
Talia, you're like in your mid-20s. She's a senior in high school.
It is very concerning. I can't believe I like didn't know about this relationship because it truly is such a disturbing one. We see Johnny working again. He's wearing a vest. This time Mike visits him. Whatever. Hannah and Leslie now come into the brew, and Leslie has a copy of that Edgar Allan Poe book that we had seen in the flashback, and Mike sees it and literally is out of his gourd angry. He's like, what the that belongs to Mona. You were in her room. Does her mom know you took? He's so mad. Demands Leslie give him the book and she won't. And he says, you can't just take everything apart. Like you want it to disappear. And it just seems
Hannah,
like he's just really struggling.
In
this
moment, I realize Hannah should be a high school teacher or a social worker because her de-escalation skills here are actually miraculous. She's able to be like,
that is true.
Mike, it's okay. We will go put it back. We'll make sure it's put back right where it was. And it's okay.
Well, and it's like, this wouldn't have worked if another girl said this to Mike, but it's because it's Hannah. And I think she just truly, like, everyone knows they can trust her. And she is a woman of her word. And, like, Like, if Aria said that, I'd be like, bullshit, I don't trust you for 1 second. But Hannah saying it, somehow I'm like, it will, like, haunt her later tonight. She'll be in the bath thinking about it until her fingers get pretty if she, like, lets me down, you know? Like,
exactly.
It'll eat her alive. I know she'll, like, take care of this. So she says that to him, and he lets it go and leaves. But we do find out that the night before Mona was killed, like, Leslie was on the phone with Mona, and then someone comes up to Mona and was like, hang up, I need you to talk to me, and it sounded upset, and she thinks it was Mike.
Leslie's such a little bitch. Leslie She's back. Such a little snake. She
Leslie's
goes,
a little shit show here. She's
like, I don't want to cause any trouble for anyone,
but I'm going to cause a massive amount right now.
So we go to Rosewood Times Square, and Emily approaches Caleb. And
no, this Phoebe.
And
oh my
she
God.
She says, didn't anyone tell you it was Saturday? And Caleb said, I have to, like, work on my academic cred.
And he doesn't even say it. And Emily's like, oh, because of Hannah? And he's like, yeah, she's going to leave me in the dust.
She always surprises us.
Oh, my God. So it's just, like, so it's, like, he's not even annoyed about it or anything. Like, and it's not even, like, oh, I'm going to follow her and I'm just going to, like, move and, like, work. He wants to be better for her. Oh, I love them so much.
And then Emily, once again, distracted by Talia. Talia's fucking everywhere. I feel
Talia
like
unloading
Talia,
her melons.
Talia waits for Emily to go wherever she goes, and then she does something right with an eyesight for her. Because
well, and Talia is consistently looking to do anything that is not in her job description.
I'm also like, why didn't we dress this bitch like she looked a little bit younger? She's dressing,
I mean, she doesn't look old,
but her clothing doesn't help. But that's what I mean. She doesn't look old, but her clothes.
She doesn't look like trendy. Are like, well, I wonder if they're trying to send older. Us because, and I'm not positive. Like this, I could be wrong, but my understanding is that perhaps this might be her first relationship with a woman. Is that sort of what she's
strap
like kind of getting
in. At? Strap in.
Oh. Well, is that true or no?
I don't exactly remember. But you're okay. Not prepared for what the truth of this relationship is.
Probably not.
So Caleb notices how Emily's looking at her and asks about it. And then Emily's like, Allie's going on trial and I'm worried about if a girl is flirting with me or not. And Caleb says to Emily, in the middle of war, we have to remember what we're fighting for. And Emily basically determines that she does want Talia to be flirting with her.
Yes. And then she asks Caleb the age old question, how does anybody get together with anybody? And Caleb
honestly,
says,
preach.
Well, you take a calm, clear look at everything. You work it out logically in your head and then you flip a coin.
That's giving Delaney on TikTok. That is
and
a line Delaney
Mike
would say.
Drop in the writer's room. Yes, 100%. Then we have Hannah telling Aria about, like, Leslie told me that Mike needed to talk to Mona the night before. And then Aria tells Hannah about Mike going to the jail. And they just, like, catch up on that. And Spencer, this is, like, all boring.
Well, it's important to note, Mrs. Vanderwall corroborates that the call happened between Mona and Mike.
Okay.
So okay. Aria can't Aria can't be like, well, Mike wouldn't do that.
Okay, yeah. Right, which Aria is trying to do with literally everything. And Spencer's still over with Johnny, like, not really helping that much. And, that's where she says, I don't want to figure it out. I just want to know. And he said, analyze that sentence. Spencer, yeah. It's very revealing.
She sees that his plans are on a missing flyer, like one of Allie's old missing flyers. And
low-key crazy.
He says, that girl's just about mythic in this town. And I'm like, okay, do you remember that you're talking to one of her former friends? And then Spencer says, more like Vishnu. Now
well,
I am
says,
become death
she's
destroyer
like Gilgamesh.
Of worlds.
She says, I'm like Gil. He says she's like Gilgamesh in high heels. And then Spencer's like, more like Vishnu. I am become death destroyer of worlds. They're like both, but it's like worse. And then he's like, well, how do you go from that, pointing to the missing poster thing, how do you go from that to sitting in jail for killing someone? Spencer, it's complicated.
Grim stuff to hang on a pretty girl with a nice smile. I liked that line.
Woof. Nice. You should consider getting that tattooed somewhere. That's special. So
the first line
Leslie's
I've ever
like,
liked in this entire show.
No, for real. Leslie's like, hey, Hannah, why the fuck did you tell Aria that about Mike? Like, I don't want to get him in any trouble. Yeah, right, girl. Yes, you do. Hannah's putting the book back and Leslie leaves to go help Mona's mom with her tea. And Hannah has another flashback where she basically, again, it's still that like, oh, if you had the stopwatch, like you'd be getting older, but no one else would. And she says something about how if Allison ever came back, she wouldn't recognize us because she'd see it.
Yeah, she'd see it. Strangers, that was epic.
She'd go nuts and she'd go back to Radley. And then Hannah like gets nervous and Mona's like, don't worry, it's just a scary story like in the book. But we come back to reality and Hannah does the absolute last thing I expected her to do. When she pulls the book up, I'm like, she's certainly going to flip through the pages. She might shake it. No, she puts it up to her ear and shakes it and listens. And I was like, that's something I've never done with a book. And it's not like this is the first time you're picking this book up. We've had it in our possession now for like a minute or
Leslie's
two.
Leslie's been holding it a lot.
So we know it's not like hollowed out. So I'm like, why are we...
But thank God
she
did.
Shaking it as if it's a Christmas present. What is this?
Thank
is
God she set, did you know? Because she pulls the bookmark and it opens like this thing on the back of the spine of the book. And then we see that there's like a little mini tape in there of something we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. So Hannah takes it and heads out, gets in the car and starts to leave. And another car follows right behind her. So we're at the Montgomery Mausoleum. Aria's journaling and we hear a door close. So she gets up to peek and we see Mike is getting ready to go somewhere, which she cannot freaking believe. She's like, and where would he be going?
He doesn't have a girlfriend anymore. He doesn't have a girlfriend anymore.
He doesn't have a social. Last I checked, his social life was down the drain.
Last time I checked, his social life was dead.
Yeah. Sorry, I need to rub my eye right now. And so then I'm wearing makeup. So
then we
look
go
scary.
Back
okay,
to.
Fuck.
Well, I'm just going to keep us going. I'm going to keep us going. We go to the brew, and Johnny's installation is finished, and it's a secret machine, we learned. And he like shows Spencer.
What it does isn't secret.
It's oh my God, Caroline, secrets. Look at the camera. You look like the crow. You look like Bill Skarsgård in The Crow.
Thank you.
Or Moira Rose.
I'm trying out a new Halloween costume. Or who?
Moira Rose.
Oh my God, I thought you said Moira in a really different way. But no, go on. So I need to get a Diet Coke, so you tell this.
This thing is powered by... this thing is powered by secrets. And so he shows Spencer how it works. So she puts her... elbows on these like little things on this desk across the brew from where Johnny's gonna go stand. She puts her elbows on it and cups her ears.
Not Phoebe saying this machine is powered by secrets.
It is not
Johnny is not the source of the electricity.
Johnny said that earlier in the episode. That's how the mechanism is powered in the desk. That's what he said to Mike.
Oh, I really wish that was just like what you said. It's powered by secrets.
I wish.
No, it isn't. Anyway, sorry. It's meant for sharing them secretly.
Anyway, so Johnny goes over into this like thing that looks like it belongs in the Apple store. That's my best way to describe it. And he starts speaking into it and it travels up through the bones in Spencer's arms and she can hear it. Now her hands are headphones, he says. And so basically the idea is that the town of Rosewood will be able to go record their secrets for other people to listen to at any given time with the understanding that their secrets will be shared. And that's that.
That there's some anonymous person listening on the other side.
Then we go to Caleb's apartment. Confession. And we're listening to... Wait. Maybe if confession looked like this and it was fucking rad.
That's how we're gonna get everybody back in church.
Wait, Caroline, these last two episodes we have completely reformed the Catholic Church.
You're right, we have.
So Caleb's apartment and they're listening to the tapes. We realize that these are tapes of Bethany Young complaining about we assume that it's Allie.
She's a bitch. She's an evil bitch.
I don't know anybody
who talks
like this.
She's so evil, she can get people to do anything she wants. She could get you to drown a bag of kittens in 10 minutes. 2 minutes if you're a man.
That line was amazing. 2 minutes if you're
crazy.
A man.
And they stop it, and Caleb's like, what the fuck is that? And Hannah's like, oh, it's Bethany. Probably talking about Allison. Caleb's like, oh, right, of course.
I should have never lived in that air vent. And I wouldn't ever have to have heard that sentence.
That's so actually so true. They decided to listen to the whole thing.
We go to this like lake or pond.
We go to the Doomsday Dock. What are we going to call this thing?
Well, this looks like the same dock that was at Hector's.
It is. I think it's all one dock. I think we have exactly one dock.
It also looks like the dock that was at Paige's.
Don't try to make it look different.
Paige's Lake House.
It's and also Spencer's the dock that Aria went with that guy at the college visit. Wow.
Pennsylvania is so small.
It's also like where we saw Jenna's body or whatever.
Right. It's Little Lake. Little Lake Theater.
Little Lake Theater, everyone.
So we see Mike like leaving candy, like gummies. What is it?
He's setting a trap. I was like, oh my God, not him leaving edibles there. He's a drug dealer.
And Aria sees this. And so once she thinks Mike leaves, she goes to walk up to it. Aria looks gorgeous this episode, I thought.
Yeah, she does.
I think this outfit makes sense for once, so it looks good.
Well, and especially because, well, what's happening here, we had a sibling standoff, and Phoebe and I know a thing or two about those. And Mike says, why'd you follow me? And she goes, why'd you visit Allison?
Should we recreate this scene little... when I'm home?
Sure.
Let's find a doc. Who's who?
Great, I would love to find a dock and stand there with you and just like see who comes out alive, see who leaves, see who walks off, and see who swims off. But she warns him like Allison is dangerous, whatever, and he just like seems a little deaf.
He says nobody's giving me orders.
Spooky, ooky, threatening. Yeah, he goes, stop following me. I don't want to see you out here again. And be careful going home through the woods. And then he leaves. And I'm like, well, thank God she's literally wearing leopard print. She's the king of the jungle. No one's going to mess with her. Don't worry, Mike. She planned this outfit strategically. Who's going to come for her?
Most people might wear leggings and a t-shirt for mobility, yeah. But not Aria.
Not Aria.
She dresses for Spencer, stealth, one might say.
Well, of course. Yes. Spencer comes home. And Vivi is working in the kitchen, which she's absolutely allowed to do because it is her fucking house.
But I do think
Spencer
her
goes,
reasoning
why
is,
are you working in here?
Her reasoning is
instead
crazy.
Instead of the den. Well, yeah, because the den was where Daddy Hastings worked and she doesn't feel comfortable there. But I am like, Spencer, where do you get off asking your mother this? Why are you working in here? I'm like, Jesus.
Look at what I'm about to send you.
Vivi is having some second thoughts about Johnny, which it's like, okay, where were the first thoughts? Because I was also having thoughts about Johnny last week and everyone was like, Caroline, you're crazy. Caroline, you're the meanest woman in Mount Lebanon, is what everyone said. Please don't send this to anyone.
I'm not going to. I just needed you to see what I was seeing.
I know what I look like. I also am seeing what you're seeing, Phoebe. Now Phoebe just taking a picture of me right now and sending it to me in case I can't see myself. No, I know.
Guys,
no,
we'll put it in the reference pics, but she literally.
No, you won't.
No, not that picture. The picture of Bill Skarsgård as the crow.
Now it's just a smoky eye. Now it's just a little J vibe. Spencer's all like inspired because Johnny's non-traditional.
She's
and
like kicking
she's, like,
her
I don't
feet.
Know if I'm going to college.
She's like twirling
yeah, she's, like,
and kicking
I
her feet up the stairs.
Like the way his mind works. Can we not get rid of him yet? And Spencer is still defending this idea that she's like not going to go to college. And she tries to get Vivi to just like remember what it was like when you were my age. I bet you didn't want to be a lawyer. And I was really hoping we were going to get some insight into what Vivi did want to be. I was like, watch her be like, I wanted to be a pop star. I know. I know. Hard to imagine now, but I had dreams once.
And
but then real life sets in, Spence.
Then we get a call from Ralph. And we find out that there was
Who
a leak from the prosecutor's office. That there's no info on what's going on in the barrel yet, but the blood spots match none other than Allison Lauren DeLaurentis.
I wasn't expecting that.
Me either.
Crazy. So we get Hannah doing her favorite thing, which is driving and jamming the hell out.
I love her.
And she gets pulled over, which, God, is this not the worst feeling on planet Earth?
Hey, guys, I have a tip, though, for everybody. And, Mom, it's because this is fresh in my...
Don't get out of the car.
Fresh in my ears from Mom when I just took my trip back from Atlanta. She loves to tell me this all the time. She's like, people can buy sirens off of Amazon.
Yes.
So if you're ever going to
be pulled
over...
And you just told our millions of listeners that. So now, you know.
Well, this is why I'm telling you this. Because if you are getting pulled over and you think for even a second that that might not be a real cop, mm-hmm. you can call 911... and say, hey, I think I'm getting pulled over right now, but the car looks a little sketch. Can you let me know if there's actually an officer in that car trying to pull me over? And they'll be able to get the location for you easily and tell you yes or no. Or you can pull off and go to a populated area. Do not put the car in park. See that there's nobody in the car behind you anymore. And then get out.
Get out. You should also, you never get out of the car if you get pulled over. Like ever. So I was like, at this point, if I see no one's in the car, I'd rather just drive away and deal with like whatever consequences than risk my life. Because also, hey, Hannah, remember like the life you live?
Remember like, when this happened to your mom?
Danger is lurking around every freaking corner.
And then she was like almost put in prison for murder. Was put in prison.
So Hannah goes, and not only does she just like get out of the car, but she walks over to the police car and like sticks her head in the window. So she's completely exposed. And what happens? But Hottie Holbrook sneaks up behind her and grabs her. And he's really giving Detective Darren Wilden. Mm-hmm. Detective Wilden is who he's really, really giving. And she goes, how do you have this cop car? You were suspended. And he says, he hasn't gotten around to turning it in. Are you going to report me? He is giving slimy, he's fucking, drunk, sleazeball.
He's like we have acting not seen from him. Crazy unhinged this episode.
Crazy.
And he's
he says to her, how does a girl like Allison become a girl like Allison? It seems like she just really absolutely fucked him up. She's ruined his career. And he just like didn't have to be a predator, though, is the thing. Like, you're blaming all this on this little girl, but you didn't have to.
And Hannah does say that. But before that, he's like, oh, I bet you she told you to kiss me. Did she tell you to kiss me?
And he like grabs her face and like her lips. Oh my God.
And
gets her paws off her.
Hannah says, you're a man. Why are you blaming this girl? And then hits him with the fucking pipe from under her car. And I do have a question. I don't know how you saw it, and maybe I just saw it wrong, but I thought she hit him across the face, and then we like see him only holding his arm, like that's what's in pain.
I also thought she like punched him in the face.
Well, I know she's got like a club or something, but I thought it went across his cheek.
Well, no, I thought she used that to like punch him.
Yeah.
So that was
that's what I
his
thought.
Cheek.
But no, then when the camera pulls out, he's like holding his arm and like shaking his hand out. And I'm like, buddy, you're barking up the wrong tree there.
So she says to him right after, she goes, you're the grown up police officer. She's just a girl. And if she really did cut you off, congrats. You don't know how lucky you are. And she drives away. And I love you, Hannah Marin. All right. Well, I'll let Phoebe, you can kind of walk us through this scene that made me crawl out of my freaking skin.
Oh, well, we go to the at first I was like,
but I did write down every single thing Emily said, so I'm happy.
Well, you
to,
can
I'm
do that, but I already
that.
Explained how the thing worked, so we don't have to do all that. But we go back to the brew.
Emily explains it's Italia.
Emily walks out of the kitchen and does the Megan Albatross.
There were multiple Megan Albatross moments in this episode that were like
out
two
of.
On the
she
nose.
Walks out of the kitchen and she goes,
"It's giving what came first." Shay Mitchell or Megan Albatross.
And
you know what I mean?
And now that we've gotten to
who
this point,
who?
It's like, wow.
Who saved who?
And so Talia's looking at Johnny's art and is like, I'm just trying to figure out like how this thing
what the fuck
works.
This is.
And it's like, us
why
too.
Did, Emily, why did Z let him do this? What the fuck is this?
And Ezra will probably feel the same way on Monday when he walks in and sees that there's ugly ass furniture taking up. I think maybe in his head he was like, maybe he'll make like a small little sculpture that fits in a bookshelf that will actually cost $200.
Although I do think that he wanted something interactive because he wanted it to be like a reason for people to come, like a special, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he wanted like a jukebox or like something different that's like so unique that no other coffee shop would have it. And honestly, every coffee shop is trying so hard to be unique. So in order to have something truly unique that no other store would have, it would have to be created
and
for $200.
Word to the wise for the coffee shops. The ones that are doing absolutely nothing to be unique are typically the ones everyone loves.
Yeah, look at Starbucks.
Look at Uptown
Literally
Coffee.
Look at Starbucks. True. So Emily is like, I'll tell you how it works. You go get set up here and I'm going to go in here. And here's what she says. And she says it in a way as if she's like reading smut for an audiobook. Like,
dude,
girl,
I thought
what,
the same thing.
What
Why
are we
is she
trying to do
here?
Like, you sound like you're trying to be a phone sex operator. And never forget when one of my college professors told me that, like, I could have a real future in that if I wanted. Anyway.
Right.
Emily says, I should have said, not that he knew that, like, I, it's just my voice. Okay, anyway. She said, I should have said, all right, let me try this one more time. it's like that commercial.
This is Caroline, like, reading a sex novel, I guess.
trying to get up the courage to actually, like, do a monologue. Okay. I should have said something that night, but I didn't. I guess I was surprised. I've been thinking about it ever since, about what you said. It's like you were asking me to decide something right then, and I couldn't do that. You don't know anything about me, really, and I don't know anything about you, except I know you're good at what you do. You've got a gift. I know that sometimes makes things lonely. I know what that's like, to be alone, to be lonely. And then she leaves and comes back to Talia and says, maybe I read too much into situations and into what people say. And Talia says, I don't think so. It took all the courage I had to say what I said to you. And then she says, you have to cook with the confidence of experience, even if you don't have much of either. And that's why I thought this is her first relationship with a woman.
I don't recall that aspect of the relationship. And you'll know why, because soon you'll forget literally everything else about the relationship when we learn the truth. But
oh my God, okay. Jesus.
But
well, Talia goes to leave and Emily's like, no way. And then they freaking make
and
out.
And hey, by the way, guys,
at work, real no less.
yeah, the boss is off and this is what we do. turns into a freaking zoo.
Way to show respect. Way to show respect for the workplace.
Yes, you know, there are cathedrals everywhere with eyes to see.
Come on.
But by the way, guys, people don't talk the way that Emily just spoke. Let's just be clear.
It sounds out that everybody talks.
Too much.
So Hannah, Spencer, and Aria are at Hannah's and they can't get a hold of Emily because Emily's busy playing tonsil honky. That's tonsil honky.
I hate that saying.
Tonsil honky?
Ugh.
It's not a real
tonsil
saying.
Tonsil honky.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Took you a long time to realize I was saying it all
wrong.
No,
I knew you were saying it wrong. I just.
Yeah, right, Phoebe. Literally, cat's out of the bag. You don't even hear it.
And you know what? Here's the deal. We're barking up the wrong freaking henchman because it wasn't Holbrook. It's Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, in fact, Holbrook, they said, isn't half the guy we thought he was.
Which.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. If I knew that someone said that behind my back, I would never be seen again.
But the good news is, think of everything this man had to do to warrant somebody saying that. I mean, you've got a long way to go.
No, I just mean like
someone wants
I
to
just
say
mean
that.
Someone having an expectation of you and then them saying behind your back they're not even half of the person that we gave them credit to be.
Phoebe, thank you for clarifying. I'm gonna lose sleep over that. This new way you framed it for me, I will be up till 4 a.m. Getting pretty in the freaking bathtub.
Caroline, you would already be up.
Oh, okay.
I just gave you something to think about.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
I was running low on general worries.
Yeah, that's so you.
Yeah.
So we're basically determining that what happened in Allie's backyard potentially was a trap because of the Bethany Young tapes, which sounds like the name of an album.
But the question, the Bethany Young tapes, but the question is, who was this trap set for?
Did Bethany set it for Allie?
They rewind.
Or Allie for Bethany?
Right. They rewind the tape and we get, was this the flashback? At first I was like, okay, we're getting a flashback to Bethany's time at Radley and they're going to show us her having this therapy session. But then we see Mike signing in. So was this another jail visit to Allison?
Yes. Because the time is different on the sheet. This isn't a flashback.
I was
we're
confused.
At the prison. Mike is visiting.
I think it was
Allie
the whole
again.
Like them rewinding the whole tape and then the scene changing, but the tape still playing.
Yeah.
Was a little unclear. Unclear storytelling.
Fair.
Just saying.
So we go to our A scene and A is going into Mona's room and goes to get the Edgar Allan Poe book to get the tape and they realize it's empty and A throws a little temper tantrum.
A little temple. And I'm like, okay, now
temple.
I have the ick. A little templeton.
And guys,
Charlotte's
this
web.
Was the episode where we first got the ick for A.
And it finally happened.
We got
they
the
said it couldn't
A.
be done, but A did give us the ick.
Wow.
That's
the episode.
It's going to be a long another season and a half and more than that even now that I have the ick for A. Everything A does now, I'm going to be like,
oh, it's just a little, like, I can never look at you the same.
It's actually pick me. It's very look at me.
And,
look
and until today, it kind of had a nonchalance to it. But now we're seeing that you're, like, actually emotionally invested and, like, it's affecting you and you're, like, going to throw a tantrum.
Not only are you emotionally invested, but you're freaking loving this. You are loving this a little too much, okay? There is no carefree air about you. And that's kind of what all the inherently cool villains kind of got going on. Ever heard of Shigo?
And so, next episode.
Do you think Shigo cares about literally anything?
No.
No.
She could not be bothered. Season 5.
She's not looking hot.
Season 5, episode 19. Out. Damned spot.
Okay. Yes! I am going to love this episode. Come on, Macbeth. Come on, the Scottish play.
And, no, but it's such a boring synopsis. Got a load of this. It's that time of year when senior high school students focus on college careers and feel the intense pressures that come with it. Aria, Emily,
we find out the
Hannah,
whole episode is an advertisement for College
no
Board.
Different. It's just the pilot for Secret Life of the American Teenager, but about college.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, that's going to be next week's ep on Thursday. Thank you for dealing with us this week, as we only had one ep. Phoebe was in Atlanta last weekend, and it just didn't work out. She got an injury from physical activity I'm sure she'll like go on live and tell you all about, because she can't shut the fuck up about it. right hand to God. Just kidding, I know. Okay, we get it. You have a major gash.
It is
that was
major gash.
No,
it's called
ground control.
It's called
major gash.
It's called do it for the vine.
Do it for the vine. Do it for the literally do it for the vine. Next week, you are going to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. We're going to talk about all kinds of things, everything you missed on Tuesday with our pop culture episode. And of course, you're going to get a full recap of my very exciting trip to Charleston that's coming up. If you're listening to this on Thursday, then tomorrow I'm going in the air. I'm going to be an airplane in the night sky like a shooting star, going to Charleston with Amber, with friend of the pod Amber. Phoebe wasn't even invited, so she's going to have major FOMO. And we are going to see the Giggly Squad show. Hang out
with
our favorite girlies.
Are you guys
going to
be watching?
Paige and Hannah.
What day is Giggly Squad?
Saturday.
So are you going to watch Live Eviction together tomorrow?
No, we're leaving Friday.
Oh, this goes up on Thursday.
Right. No, we didn't record this live, even though you keep asking.
One day.
You keep wanting to do a live app, and I'm like, Phoebe, you are way too reckless and unpredictable for that. But nice try. Maybe once you have a few more years of podcasting under your belt. So yeah, if you want to hear everything we freaking do, then definitely tune in on Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We love you guys. We are going to post our Patreon schedule. Make sure you are all signed up. But we do have, I think, a very funny recap of the pilot episode of The Secret Life of the American Teenager that went out for all honorary Connell sisters last week. And again,
did you like my title and my description?
I very much did. Yes. And someone responded and said, no fucking way Juergens is spelled like that. And to that I say, like, no, I know.
No, that's
but
what I
yes,
thought because I typed it out and I was like, I should Google that just to make sure that's spelled.
Like,
it.
No, I know
and,
it's
and what,
insane.
And what's in my wondering eyes did appear but a U?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is absolutely made up, but I'll give it to you for this. It is the pilot. I'll give it to you. I also just want to leave you with this. I am making Anthony watch Love Island with me from the beginning of this past season, and he is freaking loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of awesome. It's kind of awesome. So if you don't watch Love Island with your partner, you really should start. And to those of you that are shocked that Anthony hasn't already been watching with me, I know, but good things take time. Okay. Thank you so much for listening. We love you guys so much. We're going to see you on Tuesday. It's not even that far away, so don't be too upset. We'll see you then. Love you so much. Bye.
And
see you next week.
And splat. Jesus
and splat.
Christ.
Oh my God.
Are you new here?
It's just that we're tired. It's just that we're tired.
Right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.